W4AOL, W4AOL, KA3JCA. Big Heart, KA3JCA, clear.
Richard, 10-4ZLK mobile.
4ZLK, KA3JCA. I have to give it a few seconds there about echo leak. But how are you doing, Mr. Shane? KA3JCA, back to you, sir. No, I have the EchoLink because away from the radio inside the house right now, but also I'm having a problem with, I think it's with the radio because I sometimes I hear the 610 machine loud and clear, and then there's other times that I can't hear it at all. It's all white noise, but yet I can hear it better through EchoLink, so I'm not sure what's going on. So I'm going to try to get Ashley to see if I have my other 2-meter 440 dual band in the garage, if you can bring it in so I can try that one. I don't know if this receiver on this radio that I have is going bad or not.
I hope it's not the radio. I hope it's the whatever's the easiest. I hope you can get it figured out. I was thinking maybe an antenna problem. All that wind may have done something. I don't know. But I'm sure if there's enough of us around here, if maybe we could get something figured out for you if you need some help.
Okay. We may just have to do that one day and see how things go. But, yep. So I noticed last week you work. I thought you were supposed to be on vacation last week, but I kept hearing you on the radio going in and out or running trips there, so I wasn't sure if I misunderstood.
The week before last, call it a vacation, I was painting the house, painting some rooms in the house, and I had the HT around generally, but, you know, too hard to get on the radio when you got a paintbrush or a roller in your hand, but that was 2 weeks ago, and I was back to work last week.
KA3JCA within 4ZLK through Avon Echo Leak. But, yes, sir. Okay, I guess I really messed up the weeks there. I guess in and out of sleep and doing all my OT and physical therapy and home health care. I'm down to the nurse comes. She's coming once a week for my wound care, and then they come once every other week for OT. And now they're down to no times for PT. I'm doing good on PT, but the occupational therapy part, they're coming once every other week. So other than that, I'm doing good. The girls are doing good. Sally's cooking dinner tonight. Jerry showed her how to cook some steaks, some real good steaks. So she was impressed, and she likes the rub, that seasoning that he recommended, and so she's giving it a shot, and we're going to see how her steaks turn out tonight. KA3JCA.
I'm glad you're doing better. I'm glad you're getting that therapy down to maybe you're not needing it as much. But and yeah, the time can really fly when you're busy. These weeks start to run together. And that steak sounds good, but I had steak Saturday night. Beth and I went out to eat, and then Sunday I went over to my oldest son's house. The girls went out for lunch, and we kind of had an impromptu get together. All the boys showed up, and we brought steaks, and my son cooked them. So I had steaks 2 days in a row this week. I could probably do it every day of the week, but I don't know if that'd be good for me. But I sure could do it. So I'm sure they'll turn out fine. That's one of my favorite meals.
Be honest. I mean, I have an appetite for just about anything, but out of everything, I would say that steak and a potato, it used to be a baked potato, was my favorite. And you just give me a steak and a baked potato, fully loaded every night of the week, and I'd be happy. But we've since started eating a little bit healthier, and so we have steak, and then we have a sweet potato with it and some green beans, something green, and that makes a meal in itself. But Jerry brought over some good cut of meat, and he even brought one piece of Wagyu over to let Sally try it and to show her how that when you cook it, when I say right, it's cooked, but it's not cooked all the way through. It's kind of a real medium, raw, medium rare type, but has a char on the outside. That Wagyu steak kind of just melts in your mouth like butter, and Sally has become addicted.
Not eat a steak if there was any kind of color showing other than brown or almost black, not quite that dark, but she just had an aversion to what she thought was raw. She's come a long way now. She actually enjoys it, whether or not completely cooked through all the way like that, a little bit of medium well, that kind of thing. It just makes it so much better. They get too tough when you overcook them.
Beyond that, yeah, Sally has that same aversion. She thinks if she sees the juice, that even though the juices are coming out kind of a brown color, not red, but a clear slash brown color, she thinks that it's still raw. And so we've had to work on that a lot. And so we've got it down to where we can do it medium well and still not have anything that she thinks it's red, and she will eat it. Now I'm trying to break her of adding A1 sauce and Heinz 57 on it.
Chopper, maybe a little garlic if you like it. I don't know. I love the flavor of the meat, but I do put salt and some pepper on it generally when I grill them. But, you know, there's a guy he just retired, I worked with for years. He was married to a woman from Australia. And her parents would still hang a side of beef out in the barn, and it would just hang there all year, and they would go out whenever they wanted steak. They would just cut off a slice that, you know, it would be kind of green and moldy on the outside, but they would just cut all that off because apparently beef doesn't allow the bacteria to go into the meat like chicken and pork does, and it actually creates a seal around it. And they would just go out there and cut off a steak, and then it would, you know, that open area would kind of, you know, the bacteria or the mold or whatever would grow on the outside but wouldn't go any deeper. And that's how they would keep their beef. They wouldn't refrigerate it or anything. He said that took a little bit of getting used to, but they assured him that's just the way it's done and there's nothing wrong with it.
I've never heard of that with beef before. Now, I will tell you that when I lived in Delaware, I had a friend that used to do that with venison. He would get the venison and hang it and wrap it with cheesecloth, but leave it hanging out in the cold, not so much year-round. But if it would turn green, he would cut the green off, and then he would cook it up. But I told him, as long as I didn't see it, I mean, what he did cook up was awesome. It tasted good. But I just don't think I could have done that knowing that if I would have seen it green. So, KA3JCA with N4ZLK.
N4ZLK. Yeah, that's why you can eat a steak, you know, where it's medium or medium rare on the middle, because the bacteria doesn't go through as long as you cook the outside of it. Can't do that with chicken and pork, obviously, but beef is okay. But now I'm hungry again. I just ate a meal before I left for work and it got me hungry.
4PXB.
Go ahead and jump in there. Back a bit real quick. KA3JC. Shane, I'll be right back.
Hey, Lloyd. Good afternoon. N4ZLK.
Hey, sir. How are you? Yeah, when I was in high school, we went to the beef butcher place, and that's where they had all the beef hanging up in there, and the customers would just come in and they would just cut stuff off of it, and all the flies would be, you know, flying and landing on it. But when you were talking about the meat like that, one of my friends still does this, and it's called kibbe, but they'll put it like a little meat, they'll roll the ball up into the meat up into a ball and then put it in the pan for maybe a minute, and I was like, nah, not me.
So, Lloyd, are you saying it was pretty they roll it up and just put it in the pan for a few minutes. It's pretty rare on the inside.
It is definitely very rare on the inside because the outside just gets brown, light brown. And I've even seen her just take it shortly after she rolls it up and just eat it that way, too. I'm going, no, can't do it.
4ZLK.
Let's put those September steakhouse. Do they still bring the meat out to the table and tell them how thick you want the cut? And if they charge you by the ounce of the meat.
You were breaking up pretty bad. I couldn't tell what you were saying. Maybe Lloyd could, but maybe you can bump your power up or try again.
Feel better?
Almost there.
So, I'll jump out.
Well, that came through really clear. But, sorry about that. But come back in as soon as you feel like you might have a better signal. I'm kind of curious what you were asking now.
I'm asking if the Peddler Steakhouse, can they eat out to your table and then you cut what kind of cut you want, and then they charge you by the ounce?
Get to do it, the peddler. I thought that might be what you were asking. Now, I don't know what they do with their beef when they store it, but and I've only been there a couple of times, and that was a long time ago. But I do remember they brought a big side of beef out, or big, you know, big roast or whatever, and then you just decide how big you want your steak.
Rare as you dare kind of a guy.
It's not what I prefer. Medium to medium well is dependent on the cut of beef. I definitely don't like rare, but I can do it if I have to. Now go ahead, Lloyd.
You and I are in the same boat. I like my medium well.
KB4CBA.
Dude, and it's getting crowded in here.
Blonde said, food, my favorite.
Go ahead, David.
I'll have a filet mignon, and I like a medium.
I would think if you cook a steak or meat too much, then it just ruins it, and if you burn it too bad, then you're just wasting the money that you paid for it.
Is it, I guess it's just me and Lloyd, and, oh, shoot. Now I'm drawing a blank. Anyway, there's three of us in here. Okay, I just like mine medium because I don't want it undercooked, but I definitely don't want it well done. I just think, especially filet, when you get a meat like that well done, it starts getting less tender.
There, Ben, and it's Shane David, N4ZLK, but I'm going to jump out because I'm not far, and I'll let you guys handle the steak discussion, and I'm with you, David. I don't want it overcooked because it kind of ruins the texture and the flavor. Everybody have a good afternoon. Good to hear all of you this afternoon. N4ZLK clear.
Bye, Shane, KA3JCA.
Shane.
Alright, so who do we have in here? Steve or David or Lloyd is in there? And Ben, I think, is in there.
Hitting a lot of sounds like cough stuff. Yeah, this is Ben, KO4ZW.
Lloyd is definitely in here, KO4PXB.
And David, KB4CBA.
That's good. Richard, KA3JCA is in here. Hey, definitely Ben and Lloyd. I know you live over here in my neck of the woods. I just got a phone call from Greenville Water saying they're going to be doing some testing on the water lines or whatever tomorrow morning on Wednesday the 5th. And just be prepared for the water being out or there being an outage. It should be back up, I think, by 10 a.m. is what it said, but... just give you guys a heads up if you haven't received that phone call yet.
I live in that neighborhood.
I have not received that message because I'm on well water. But, yeah, appreciate the heads up, though.
Hey, Richard, was that going to be a general area on Highway 14 or just your subdivision?
Greenville area. I know I have a Simpsonville mailing address, but we're on Greenville water. It just said in the area.
All right, I appreciate it.
Your phone number is on the primary account, then you'll get a voicemail here or whatever. I tried to answer it quickly, but it went right to voicemail, but I had to listen to it. So it didn't specify strictly Heritage Lakes, but it did say in the area for 1 to 4 hours, but it should be back up around 10 a.m.
No, that's my wife's number is listed for that part of the, for the water part of it. I wasn't sure if y'all had looked on the news over the weekend for that Cooper River Bridge run. There was over 30,000 people doing that run. The person that did it the fastest, he ran 1 mile in 4 minutes and 40 seconds.
What's that race overall?
10 kilometers.
That bridge has got to be a monster.
Yes, it is. At the very bottom of the bridge to the top, there's a 523 steps or feet of change in elevation.
Lloyd?
It's in Charleston.
It's the, it used to be the Cooper River Bridge. I think they call it the Ravenel Bridge now, if I'm not mistaken.
That is correct. The event, they still call it the Cooper River Bridge Run.
It's on the south side of Charleston, going into Charleston on the south side?
It's more on the, I'm getting my bearings here. It's on the east side because you cross from Charleston into northeast into Mount Pleasant.
Different bridge I was thinking of. I have an uncle that lives over there in Somerville, and they took us over a new bridge that they had built. And so forth, and there was a big bridge. And, I mean, actually, it was on the cover of one of the magazines of bridges that came out. So it's been a while since I've been over there. Initially, when you guys were talking about the race, I was thinking you were talking about that race down at the Keys where they ran across that 7 mile bridge down there in the Keys this past weekend. So that was on the news also. KA3JCA.
Yeah, I was down there. We had the military was doing the security in each one of the corrals where the different levels of runners were at.
Stayed at home.
Yeah, at least our part of this was very quick. Once the runners got through all the A through K corrals, they were roped off in sections. Once they got up to the start line and passed our section, we were allowed to get back on the bus and then head home.
Didn't have to stay for the whole shebang.
No, we did not. Once we got, the people cleared our area, then we got back on the bus and waited for the other groups to get together for all the military personnel. We got back on the bus and went back to the Mount Pleasant Armory, and then we got that place cleaned up and we headed back to a 4 hour trip. We got down there that Friday and then we waited. So we were there probably about 3 or 4 in the morning at our station. And then the first runner left the start line at 8 o'clock.
Any communication or just your presence?
Each one of us had an 800 megahertz radio. So other than that, the all the other places had the communications that they were using on their own.
Anybody else in here?
I don't know if Bid is still here either.
Did a real silly thing. It's really, I guess that's saying it, being easy on myself. It was really a stupid thing. I was trying to do DMR and I'm sorry, not DMR, FTA, and I didn't have my 7300 on FTA. I had it on the regular function, and you have to switch it over. It's just one. You know, you hit the menu button, and then you hit the button you want, and then you go back, and you're done. It's real simple to do. I just didn't do it, and I couldn't figure out why I wasn't getting any stations on my FTA, and then I went to FT4, and it was the same way, and then I went and looked at my radio, and I said, sure enough, there it was. I was on the wrong function.
Yep, situations like that will happen, so hopefully you didn't get fussed at by if you were even transmitting.
I can't say I've never done that before, but I think I've caught it real early in the process, and this time I didn't, and it just went, I just went on and on and on, and and couldn't figure it out. So I was really dumbfounded.
Yep, your mother told you there'd be days like that.
I tell you, there's been plenty of them. But, doing ham radio, it's always a learning process for me. I mean, there's always something to learn. That's the main thing. It's I will never say that I know it all, because I'm far, far, far from that.
Yeah, because I hear many people telling horror stories of them talking on the too close to the bands in HF.
The 7300, the Icon 7300, that's the HF rig I have. It has a feature for that, and it works well, and you can I'm not sure what it's called, but you can roll out to the upper part of that frequency or the lower part, whichever, wherever the interference is, and you can actually pretty much get rid of all of it, and it doesn't change the reception that much. And I do it a lot on 80 meters, because we do a net on they do a net on 3915, and then somebody else is doing one a lot of the times on 3915, and they're just two placed together, and they interfere with each other, and it's a little irritating, but that's how we get around it.
I wasn't sure if you heard my information yesterday that I measured the area where I was looking to put an antenna up. It's 44 feet, and it's probably, the trees are probably maybe 20 to 25 feet tall, so they mentioned that I wouldn't be able to get too high up in there in the bands with the height of the tree and the length of the, between the span.
When I first put my Carolina Windham up, it was like that. It wasn't maybe 25. It might have been 30 feet, but it wasn't very high, and it worked really well. I was really amazed. and how well it worked at that height. And until it came down, that's where it was. That's where I left it. And I was real happy with it. I talked on that thing on sideband into St. Petersburg, Russia. So I think it did a pretty good job. And that was 100 watts.
Cable or the single mass?
A split 134-foot cable. It's all center fed, and this thing was old. I've now replaced everything. Everything on it's brand new, but I'll be honest with you, I think the old one worked better. But the new one's up a lot higher, that's for sure.
And that's the bad thing about it. Like I said, the trees from one end to the next is only 44 feet, and it's probably about 20 feet that I'd be able to have the cable in there where it's not easily seen.
I have four big trees in the back, all in a straight line. There is a oak tree and then three sweet gum trees, and they're all about the same height. And but I only have 90 feet of property back there, so both ends of the antenna are kind of drooping down because it's 135 feet long, so it's longer than the space I have now. One neighbor lets me use his tree, but the other neighbor on the other side doesn't really have a tree I can tie on to, so that end kind of goes down toward the ground some, but it doesn't really seem to hurt it. But anyway, and it also, and it's running, let's see, it's running north and south, so that means it's transmitting east and west. But it also has a vertical aspect to a vertical line. It's 22 feet long, goes down from the ballon at the top to a choke, and that's where you tie in your feed line. And that 22-foot section transmits omnidirectionally, so I can hear people living down the street from me talking on HF.
Good. I've got a phone call, gentlemen, so it's KO4PXB. Y'all be careful.
73s, and I'm going to jump out of here, too, because I'm sitting in the parking place here at the sports club. I'm getting ready to play some tennis. 73s to all, KB4CBA.